This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore, and it's a Wednesday. And, Rick, I'm looking at the I just saw a tweet from A.J. Burnett from Channel 5, and I noticed this yesterday when I was heading out to the basketball game last night. It's still light, and sunset's at 5 o'clock today. So for those of us that like spring, that's a good sign, I guess. But for those of you like you, Rick, that are disappointed with the ski season, not a good sign.
No, I like the dark in the morning. I like the dark in the evening, and heading the other way. And even the sun is even coming up a little earlier in the morning now too. So yeah, and the mild weather is just it's killing it for me. But you know, I guess the good news is it saves on the heating bills.
Somehow or other, we've been able to survive this winter, you know, so far. And but we're going to get slammed, I think, with a few storms coming up here in the weeks ahead. February's always the – people forget. February's the big snow month, really.
Well, you know, we got a sou'wester coming in today, you know, but they're talking 50 degrees. And yeah. Winds out of the south for the next 2 days and big wind gusts and heavy rain. So that's another stake in the heart of ski country.
Yeah. So we got a number of things to talk about today. I'll tell you about our videos and also we have some news out of Peabody. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let me just tip you off to what we have on our videos. We have just two videos posted today. One of them is Jimmy Fallon's pros and cons of going to the Super Bowl. So there's a pro every, you know, there's always a good sign or upside to going to the Super Bowl, and there's a downside as well. And we also have an interview that Ellen did with the Powerball winners. So as you watch that, if you want to watch it, just remember how miserable their lives are going to be in another year or so, because that's the way it is, right? So enjoy our, you know, so we've got it going here, but those are the Powerball winners that we have on our website. So let's begin with a few stories. Out of Peabody, the 12th Essex District primary race, which is a vacated state rep seat. And also, oh, by the way, we also have Jerry Parasella on the program. We talked to Beverly State Rep Parasella yesterday, got a number of different topics we'll talk with him about, and that'll be in our program as well today. So in that 12th Essex District primary last night, several Democrats running. Thomas Walsh wins. And on the Republican side, Stephanie Peach is the winner. And there's going to be one independent candidate, Christopher Gallagher. So he'll be on the ballot. I think the general election, so to speak, is March 1, which would coincide with Super Tuesday. So I may have that March date wrong. I don't have my calendar right in front of me. But anyways, I think they've aligned that so it matches up with our presidential primary in Massachusetts for the general election in Peabody. So some news out of the city of Peabody in that state rep race.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll be able to talk with the mayor about that next week sometime and get a little more information, a little more insight, for me anyway.
And we'll hope to talk to those candidates as well. And we remind folks that they can always contact us at our email address, which is msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. And please follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter followers are growing here as we go through. And had a big basketball game last night. We'll do some sports a little bit later on in the program. And, you know, one of the topics, Rick, that we talked about, and we talk about with a number of different with our state reps and state senators in the last week or so, is the MBTA. And I don't know if you saw this in the news in the last day, but in China, they had a train issue where, and it's their New Year, the Chinese New Year, where they had 100,000 people stranded at a train station because of a train breakdown. And then I think for a couple of days, one full day or another day, like at least 25,000 people could not get on the train that they wanted to get on. So, hey, we have our problems. We have our snowstorms. We have our breakdowns with the MBTA. But 100,000 people waiting for a train? No, we haven't really had that. So,
yeah, that's a lot. That brings to mind the I think a few years back after 9/11, a couple of years after 9/11, I think there was a power outage in New York City. I can't remember the exact situation, but I remember seeing the television news covering the thousands of people that were walking home from the city, and I remember an image of thousands of people walking across the George Washington Bridge, as I recall. So you know, we've had our share too. We've had our moments, but nothing like that. 100,000,
Kalamanga. No, exactly. And trying to think of some of the other stories in the news here here today. Let me think here. Oh, there's – go ahead, Rick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, I was just going to say, The Fuller School thing is up in the paper again. Fuller School property is at Blackburn Circle. That's a school that was allowed to rot and deteriorate and thus lose the value of the appraisal that it had had at one time, up to $19 million for the worth of the land. But the building has gone to rot, and the YMCA has pretty much put in a very political bid for it. And anyway, the deadline for accepting the YMCA offer is apparently February 23, according to the Times. And one little thing to note, excuse me, is a Gloucester City councilor is quoted as saying, well, everyone I've talked to approves of the plan. Well, just saying everyone I've talked to doesn't. So there you go. Not that I've talked to a lot of people, but just saying.
Yeah. You know, there's. I was driving home last night from the basketball game, the Danvers English game, in which Danvers won, and I was listening to the news, and apparently, all right. So apparently, there's this television show, or I think it's a TV show. It's not a movie. Some kind of a TV show. Yeah, it's a TV show on the FX channel about the OJ trial. And so the news story then says, it's a very short news story, so it's on the radio. So they talk about the program. I've heard inklings of this show. I'm not really familiar with it. But anyways, it's on the OJ trial. And it says that OJ, who's in prison, says that he's okay with the way he was portrayed in the show. But yet, you know, he's only seen promos for it. But he thought the portrayal of Johnny Cochran, his attorney, was not right. So now, there's a reporter, somehow or other, this is what's strange, that has talked to OJ about his reaction to the show. Then the last part of the story is, and you can't make this stuff up, is that, unfortunately, I don't know if the reporter says unfortunately, he may not have said this, but let me throw it in there. But unfortunately, OJ's prison does not carry the FX channel.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah,
oh,
so OJ's got this, you know, that's probably the worst thing that's happened to OJ in years. I mean, he can't get the FX channel in prison to watch the television show about the OJ trial. So that's Hollywood. So whatever. I just thought that was just strange. It's just kind of different. So.
Priorities, yeah.
Get those guys the FX channel. Come on. How are we going to rehabilitate guys if they can't watch the FX channel?
I know. What's that called? Cruel and unusual punishment. I guess that's unconstitutional.
Hey, you have a hockey game tonight. But I know we're not doing sports right now, but I just thought we'd mention that just before we go too far here. So that's tonight at Salem State, right?
Yep, we got a game tonight. 6:30, I believe it is, the Lynn Jets, unbeaten, against the Peabody, the Marblehead Magicians. I keep doing it. The Headers, Marblehead, also unbeaten.
Gotcha. All right. Well, those are some of our stories making news here today on the North Shore. We have State Representative Jerry Parasella joining us on the program. We'll also check on a few sports stories just ahead here as well. And again, we do want to hear from you. Please check in with us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. This is msonewsports.com. We're joined by Beverly State Rep Jerry Parasello from the city of Beverly. Jerry, great to see you today, and welcome to our website.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to join you today.
Well, there's so many things to talk about that are going on in the State House. You're the chairman of the Veterans Committee, Veteran Affairs Committee. So maybe share with us some of the items and bills that your committee is working on at this point.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I'm chairman of the Veterans and Federal Affairs Committee. So we focus on veterans issues in Massachusetts. We have about 380,000 veterans in Massachusetts, about 40,000 that have served since 9/11. So we're trying to make sure that Massachusetts has the best benefits that they can provide to veterans. Recently, we passed a bill called a Stolen Valor Bill. And what that bill does is it makes it a crime for somebody to impersonate a veteran and gain financially from that. We've seen a lot of stories. You can go on YouTube and see videos of folks walking around the mall wearing a uniform, trying to get discounts or trying to get benefits. And some of these folks, it's clear, are not veterans. They've been called out by real veterans. So in November, around Veterans Day, we passed the Stolen Valor Bill, which makes that a crime. So we're one of the few states that has made that a criminal penalty. And now for the upcoming year, we're working on legislation regarding veterans housing. We'd love to try to improve housing access for veterans. At one time, veterans had a higher percentage of homelessness than the regular population. So we're working on issues around veteran homelessness and trying to make sure that every veteran is housed in Massachusetts.
Well, you know, the VA hospital issue was big nationally, now almost 2 years ago, I'm thinking. And what's your take? Have there been the improvements nationally for veterans?
I think we're pretty fortunate in Massachusetts with the VA hospitals that we have here. You know, we've got good facilities in Bedford, Jamaica Plain, West Roxbury, and we've got some clinics like in Gloucester and Lynn. But there certainly are a lot of issues with the VA. And I think there's just been a lot more claims that the VA has gotten than they can handle at this point. From the veterans that I talk to, and I go to the VA myself as being a veteran, the care is excellent, and people are happy with the care typically that they get. The problem is trying to get through all the paperwork, all the claims, the backlog. I also hear from student veterans trying to get the GI Bill, and there's a backlog there. You know, we have about 300 student veterans at North Shore Community College, a similar number at Salem State. And just trying to make sure that they get their GI Bill benefits to help pay for school, because that's a huge issue. Sometimes they're delayed. They could be delayed a month or, you know, a semester or more. So we just want to make sure that that backlog is taken care of.
Wow, there's a lot of things you don't even think about for sure on all of this piece. And clearly, I guess, the message is we want to take care of our veterans. And, you know, so if you could wave a magic wand either nationally or across the state, was there anything else that you would kind of say, geez, we really need to address and support such and such?
Yeah, I mean, we're sending veterans off to war, and there's a lot of talk during the campaign about, you know, combating terrorism. But the issue is getting the care that these folks need when they get back to make sure that we do take care of our veterans. There's been more cases. I mean, I worked when I went to Iraq. I was working in a medical brigade, so we were in charge of all the medical facilities in Iraq, and the survival rate of veterans now is higher than it's ever been. But unfortunately, they're coming back with grievous injuries, and so we want to make sure that we have the capability to take care of the veterans when they do come back.
Well, as a veteran, as a Army reservist, as we speak, maybe share with us just kind of the things that you're involved with at this point with the Army Reserve.
Yeah, I've been in 22 years now. I serve as an Army JAG officer, which means I'm an Army lawyer. I enlisted as an enlisted soldier, and then I had my law degree, so I became a commissioned officer. So what I'm doing as a lawyer is I provide a lot of legal assistance to soldiers and their families, especially those who are getting ready to deploy. We'll meet with the soldiers and their family members if they need a will, power of attorney, or have any questions regarding issues, maybe if they have a lease and they need to break their lease or a car lease or a landlord-tenant issue. So we try to make sure that we take care of their legal needs so that they can focus on their mission while they're deployed and there's not concern back home about any of these legal issues.
No. Well, I'm going to switch back to the State House here, and it's probably the biggest thing that you guys do every year is the budget. And the governor in the last week has come out with his budget. It's a new governor, a new budget kind of thing. I know the process systematically is the same, but is what the governor did any different than past governors in the past as to how he's laid this out?
I mean, first of all, I mean, I think the governor does have a pretty good relationship with the legislature. I think he's doing a good job. And this was his first budget as governor. So I think what he's trying to do right now is sort of hold the line. You know, he's talked about no new taxes, no new fees, and the Speaker of the House has said the same thing. So we got to make sure that we have a budget that we can sustain. And unlike the federal government where they can borrow money, in Massachusetts, it's under our Constitution, we have to have a balanced budget. So we can only spend what we take in. So some of the things that a lot of folks focus on and that I like to focus on is the local aid, making sure that we have enough money for our schools, for our public safety officials, fire, police, and so forth. So the governor's budget does give Beverly additional amount of money for schools and for local aid. Now it's up to us in the House. We have our chance to take a look at the budget, craft our own version of the budget, and we'll probably end up voting on that late April. And then it would go to the Senate, and then we have to have it done by July, which is the fiscal year beginning for Massachusetts. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's done by July 1, right? Sometimes it might not be, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've pretty much done it by you know, the first or second week in July. We haven't dragged it out like the federal Congress has done it, you know. So, because the cities and towns really rely on that money, you know. It's a good significant portion of their budget, so we want to make sure that we square that away.
You're right, and obviously they can probably plan on not getting tons of additional money, you know, in this day and age. But you're right; they're working on their budgets as we speak, and you guys are working on the state budget as we speak. Speaking, you mentioned schools just a moment ago and aid to schools. There's a new middle school coming to Beverly, so tell us about that.
Yeah, recently the Massachusetts School Building Authority approved funding for the new middle school in Beverly. It's gonna replaced the Briscoe Middle School, which was built in the early 1920s. Actually, my parents went there when it was the high school. I went there when it was junior high, and now my daughter is going to be the last class to graduate from Briscoe. So it's a school that served us well, you know, since the 1920s. But we are going to have a new middle school, which is going to be built in the old Memorial Middle School site, and it's going to be a great facility. The state is going to kick in about $49 million of the cost of about $106 million facility. So it's going to be great. This will actually be the last school in Beverly that'll be new. We've got a new high school. All the elementary schools have been redone, so now we'll have a new middle school. It'll be great.
Just to follow up on that, on the old building, is there plans for what to do with that building once there are no longer any students in it?
I mean, it would be up to the city council and the mayor to decide. You know, they could declare it surplus property and then sell it. I'm not sure if there's any plans at this point on what to do with it, but it's a great building. It's very, very sturdy. It actually used to be a fallout shelter, you know, it sort of be during the worst times, the old Soviet era and all that. They were saying that that's where folks would go if something bad happened. So it's a very sturdy building, you know that.
Exactly. Hey, maybe just a couple of other things. We had talked about the MBTA, and I had not realized all of this, but Beverly's kind of a hub a little bit for the North Shore MBTA, but yet there's a lot of issues around that, and there's five T stops in the city of Beverly, which I did not realize, but that brings MBT issues front and center to the residents of Beverly, and that's a hot issue, as the governor has kind of tried to deal with that since becoming governor.
Yeah, no question about it. And I mean, like you mentioned, we have five T stops. We get over 2,000 people that take commuter rail from Beverly every day. We're one of the busiest hubs. Beverly and Salem are among the busiest in the entire MBTA system. Obviously, last year was a mess with the record snowfall. And I don't think I heard from folks about it in one issue more so than the folks with the MBTA. You know, there was a lot of problems. And people pay a lot of money, $239 for a monthly fare from Zone 4 in Beverly to ride the train. And what they're asking for is a reliable service. They just want to get to work. They want to get to school. They want to get to a Celtics game or a Bruins game at the Garden. And, as you mentioned, the governor has instituted a fiscal control board to kind of try to rein in some of the issues regarding that. It's been better so far this year. And obviously, we want folks to have reliable service. They're holding discussions as we speak about a potential fare increase that could be from 6 to 10%. I'm concerned about if the fares go up too much, are people going to just decide, you know, that's it, it's too much money, I'm going to hop in my car and drive into Boston. We've already got notorious traffic issues. We want to try to encourage folks to get on to commuter rail and the subway. And so, they do have some financial issues that we're trying to control. We do give the T over $1 billion a year, so there's a significant state impact. I think some folks say we should do more. But, you know, if you live in Western Mass and you don't take the T, you're saying, well, where's my money going? So I think it's very important to our economy here in the North Shore and the Northeast. But I think they do have to kind of get their fiscal house in order.
And I do think communities like Beverly and Salem that do have the T coming through their communities are fortunate in that regard for commuting into Boston, because there are a lot of areas, you know, around the 128 corridor that really don't have that option. And although it may be expensive, it may be a pain many times, it's still a nice option to have.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, it is so critically important to getting folks into and out of Boston. I mean, Boston is the hub of our economy. And making sure that we have a good infrastructure system, good public transit is so important.
Last question, Representative Parisella, the opioid problem. definitely something that the governor has addressed, legislators have addressed, communities have addressed in kind of a new way, I think, in the last year. And what tell us a little bit about your interactions with that issue.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give the governor credit. You know, he initially proposed a bill regarding the opioid issue in the House. We voted not too long ago on our own version of the bill. It's similar to the governor. Probably the biggest difference is that the governor wants doctors to only be allowed to prescribe a 3-day dosage of pain medication. We voted for 7 days. We just felt that 3 days was probably a little too short, but, you know, 7 days would be reasonable. I've talked to some medical professionals, doctors. My brother's a nurse. I talked to him about it. And they all told me that 7 days was a reasonable compromise. Recently, the city of Beverly got a $20,000 grant from the state to provide Narcan for the police and firefighters. You know, that's the drug that'll help if there's an overdose victim, bring them back to life. You know, it's unfortunate that we need to have those kind of medications available to our first responders, but I think there is an understanding and awareness that, you know, opioid abuse is a huge issue in Massachusetts, and we're trying to tackle it.
Well, we've covered a lot of different issues. Is there anything else you want to share with us at this point?
I just appreciate you taking the time to meet with me, and I had a chance to talk to the folks. Really appreciate it very much.
Great. Well, that's Representative Jerry Parasella, from the 6th Essex District, state representative from Beverly. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSO Newsports.com.
All right, in sports, we do have a hockey game tonight on MSO Radio. It will be at 6:30. Oh, 2 unbeaten teams, Lynn Jets and the Headers of Marblehead. Also want to mention that we finally are beginning, it's just beginning, to get video on demand. As our staunch visitors know that we broadcast live streaming video from time to time, at least one football game a week, and we're trying to ramp that up even more as we go along. But we finally have the capability now of having video on demand. So we have our first game up there from last December, this past December, featuring Marblehead and Danvers hockey. It's not all cute, doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles, and it's not a perfect edit. The audio comes in a little bit too hot, but it's still there, and we're going to only get better. So I do want to promote that fact. But again, hockey tonight, 6:30, pregame probably around 6:15. Joe Conlon, Lynn Jets coach, unbeaten this year. I think they have one tie. Marblehead, coached by Bob Jackson, of course, same thing, unbeaten with the one tie. And I didn't know, I was listening to Phil Stacey on our broadcast on Saturday, but I didn't realize that Mark Leonard is the dean of Northeastern Conference hockey coaches. I didn't realize that. He still looks like a little kid, but with 200 wins, and Bob Jackson closing in on that as well. So, and Joe Conlon with just a great start in his coaching career at the Lynn Jets.
And a little shout-out, congratulations to St. Mary's coach Mark Lee. I think he's like a 30-year coach at St. Mary's, but he won his 400th game last night in a 4-3 St. Mary's win over Bishop Fenwick. So a third-period goal. I think it was a come-from-behind win, too, for St. Mary's, but they win 4-3. So congratulations to Coach Lee from St. Mary's High School. In our basketball game last night, Danvers broke out to a big lead. English was playing without their top player, Anthony Silva, last night. But Danvers won big. I think they're on their way to winning the NEC North. They still have a ways to go, but it was a big win for them. We do have the post up on our website of that game. We have the game. We have some post-game comments from Coach Walsh. And also, Rick, this is one of the most remarkable things that I've seen in high school basketball. I saw it last night. And it's Rashad Francis. Now, Rashad Francis from Danvers High School scored 20 points in the first quarter. Gary Larrabee and I, and we're talking, Gary, you know, has that blog, and let's give it a plug, GaryLarrabee.com, blogging on Danvers basketball. So if you're a Danvers basketball fan, you got to check out his blog. But in that first quarter, Rashad Francis had 4 2-point baskets and 4 3-point baskets. And I'm trying to think if that was in that first quarter was one of his deep threes or if it was later on in the second half. But he ends up with 30 points. So, again, first quarter, 20 points for one player. And, again, I've never seen that before. I really haven't. And so he ends up with 30. And in the game, he has 20 points in the first quarter, 10 points in the third quarter, no points in the second quarter, and no points in the fourth quarter. And we have a short little video up with Rashad Francis up there from Francois, from Danvers High School. But a remarkable individual performance oh, man, he had quickness. He was lighting it up. And one of his threes, yes, it was in the first quarter, that deep three I'm talking about, way, way beyond the arc out on the left wing. Unbelievable shot.
Sounds like he was in the zone. Have you ever been in the zone, Bill, athletically? I have once in my life, and it's just an amazing feeling, and it's inexplicable. Have you ever been in the zone? Because this kid certainly was.
I kid my friends, because we used to play. When I was growing up, my friends in my neighborhood played hockey, and the friends that beyond at school would play basketball. So I played both, and so I was not good at either one of them. But anyways. We played this pickup hockey game. We used to play pickup hockey. They'd rent time at the rink, late at night, So we play weekly or something like that. One night, I scored three goals on one shift. Now, three goals on one shift. Now, granted, this is wobbly, old guy. I wasn't old at the time. I probably was in 20s or whatever. Who knows? Late teens, 20s, whatever. But it was just kind of a fluky thing. I would not call it the zone, but I still kid my friends about it. Like, I call it the pure hat trick. I say, guys would talk, well, we got a hat trick, but I said, I had the pure hat trick. Three goals in one shift. That's the, I made that term up, I believe, but I don't think
it. Oh, I like it. Yeah. And the only thing comparable I remember, Derek Sanderson one time for the Bruins scored two goals on one shorthanded shift. I do remember that. They were shorthanded. He scored two goals on one shorthanded shift. But I was in the zone once. I'm not going to get into that. But I got to tell you, my high school baseball career, I struck out twice in one time at bat. And I think that's a world record. I batted out of turn and struck out. Then it was my turn. Then it was my turn to go to bat, and I struck out again.
let me give you an idea. I'm clearly not a great scorer, not a great shot, but so for me to score three goals in one shift is like Hillary winning six straight coin tosses in Iowa on Monday night at the caucuses. That's how unlikely that is to happen. I have
one other comment. My comment has to do with the Super Bowl, which I'm probably going to casually watch for about a half an hour, maybe the first half. And I'm a homer. I'm a rabid Patriots fan, of course. This with the inflation levels that Goodell came out with yesterday is so absurd. But my curiosity is piqued as to whether or not Tom Brady will go to the game, and I'm curious to see how he's going to handle that. He said it is an honor to be invited as one of the former MVPs, and of course there will be some all-time greats at this game, some Hall of Famers that he might not otherwise get to meet and commiserate with. So I'm curious to see how he's going to handle this.
Oh, it reminds me, I got one other thing here, Rick, that we could talk about today. It's in the Wall Street Journal, and it's a feature on Peyton Manning. Apparently, I didn't know this, but Peyton Manning is one of these kind of 80s movie buffs. So he, of course, he's of one era age group. A lot of his teammates are a lot younger. So I guess he's been known for dropping movie lines from some of those classic old comedy movies such as Stripes, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Caddyshack, and so on. So I didn't realize that about him, nor did anyone else or anyone care about it. But so apparently this guy kind of breaks it up a little bit in the locker room, gets to know his teammates, learns about them, does understand that there is an age difference between many of his teammates and himself, and again drops a lot of these old movie lines in his conversations and team meetings and so on. So from Christmas Vacation, Caddyshack, all these different old movies. And I guess one of his lines, let me tell you, does this line ring a bell with you? Because it does not with me. 220, 221, whatever it takes. Does that ring a bell with you? No, it doesn't with me either.
No.
I guess it's a Michael Keaton line from Mr. Mom. So anyways, I'm not as well versed on these movies, but some great old movies from the 80s. And do you hate Peyton Manning, Rick? Here's our last question.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, good.
Oh, no,
okay.
No. Heck no. Bill, I'm a long, I watched my first pro game on television in 1958. Hello. No, Peyton Manning.
It's Johnny. It's Johnny Unitas. You're still struggling with.
Well, yeah. But some of the old timers, we didn't know them personally. Obviously, we only knew them from watching on football. And Bill, you and I have covered a lot of territory and locally in the area. And we understand the process. And to get where Peyton Manning is, you know, you as a fan, you have got to appreciate his greatness. Plus the fact that we have, for the last 15 years, watched two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, maybe two of the greatest athletes of all time anywhere, compete. And Peyton Manning certainly is very charismatic on television, too. His commercials are most enjoyable. You know, no, I absolutely don't hate Peyton Manning, not at all. I don't know the guy personally, obviously, but boy, do I respect his accomplishments. And I got to tell you, Bill, watching what he's done over the years has been fantastic. I am not a great fan of local sports talk radio in Boston. I think they're way too critical, they're way too full of themselves, and they don't talk to the athletes. And I really don't think they have any idea what it takes to compete or to even get at that level. You know, they call Peyton Manning spoiled and he's surrounded by his sycophants and all that stuff. They have no idea, you know, what he's gone through to be as good as he is. And the other thing is, final comment, get off my soapbox. A lot of athletes are given incredible talent. They're born with incredible talent, but they squander it. And people like Tom Brady, Bobby Orr, Larry Bird, Peyton Manning, probably Eli Manning as well, they work harder than everybody else to be the best. So, no, you know, that's the long answer to the question, do I hate Peyton Manning? Absolutely not.
No, I feel the same way. I don't hate Peyton Manning either. One thing that kind of grinds at me a little bit is, unfortunately, he and Brady went at it in the Patriots' last game, and Brady ended up playing half the game on his back because he couldn't get any protection. That's what's discouraging as you look back at that last game as a Patriot fan. And
Except, I was talking about this the other night. Don't forget that last drive that Brady engineered. That was one of the greatest last drives in playoff history. And with 12 seconds left, hitting Gronk in the end zone. A spectacular catch by Gronk. An amazing drive by Tom Brady. And, dare I say it, the offensive line, you know, they came through for the last minute. But no, you're right. And if you're a Peyton Manning fan, how many times did he end up on his back when he played against the Patriots? You know?
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. We also we've got hockey tonight, Wednesday night, and that is Lynn Jets versus Marblehead, 6:30 from Salem State. High school basketball tomorrow, Friday night. Excuse me. We're going to venture into the Middlesex League for Melrose at Wakefield with live video streaming of that basketball game. And then we'll keep you posted on the rest of our schedule coming up. But we've had a great week, a lot of things on the website. So check it out and email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell on North Shore Today on msonewsports.com.